Israel has never been more isolated on the global stage than it is today. But it's important to point out the following fact. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because as long as Israel has the United States on its side, has the White House on its side, has the Congress on its side, and has much of the mainstream American media on its side, it doesn't have to shift course. The reason why Israel can carry on with its moral obscenity in Gaza is because there are zero consequences for its behavior. The big point that I want to keep emphasizing, especially in front of an American audience, is that U.S. policy allows these atrocities to take place.
That's Nader Hashemi, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamyan. This edition of AR features Nader Hashemi on Gaza, Israel, and the United States. Official U.S. policy in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is one of being the great enabler for Israel. A new study from the Cost of War Project at Brown University finds the Biden and Trump regimes in the last 2 years have given Israel $21.7 billion in military aid. In addition, Washington extends crucial diplomatic and political support to Israel. Omar Shaker of Human Rights Watch says, quote, "When you talk about double standards in international law and human rights, the United States is at the top of the list," unquote. There's one set of rules for the master and his allies, in this case Israel, and another for everyone else. The Israeli genocidal assault on Gaza has turned it into a slaughterhouse. The likelihood of a viable Palestinian state seems distant. Our guest today is noted Middle East expert and author Nader Hashemi. He's the director of the Al-Walid Center for Muslim-Christian Understanding at Georgetown University. I talked with Nader Hashemi in early October at the Boulder Public Library. Well, let's start with a little known but significantly geopolitical development, the Hague Group. What is it exactly?
So the Hague Group is a group of countries mostly from the global south that came together in The Hague in January of this year to defend the human rights of the Palestinian people. The countries that are at the core of the group that came together that are considered to be the founding members, and it's important that we recognize them, Bolivia, Colombia, Cuba, Honduras, Malaysia, Namibia, Senegal, and South Africa. And the goal of the group is to coordinate international legal and diplomatic action to hold Israel accountable under international law for its violation of the human rights of the Palestinian people. The two co-chairs of the Hague Group are Colombia and South Africa. They've had three meetings this year, the founding meeting in The Hague, a subsequent meeting this summer in July in Bogota, Colombia, and then one in New York last month at the United Nations. I encourage everyone to go to their website. They have a wonderful website that sort of lays out their founding principles, what they're trying to do, and it's one of the positive developments that we're seeing in this world internationally to deal with this catastrophic genocide in Gaza.
In mid-September, the UN issued a report stating that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. Israel vehemently denies the charge. In addition to the UN report, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the International Association of Genocide Scholars, as well as two prominent Israeli human rights organizations, B'Tselem and Physicians for Human Rights Israel, have all declared that Israel's military actions in Gaza constitute genocide. The scale of death and destruction is staggering. So talk about this crime of crimes, genocide, and why has it been so important to label it as such?
Well, you just used the term crime of crimes, and that's a phrase from Raphael Lemkin, the person who founded the concept of genocide, coined the term. And his argument was very simple, that there are, there are war crimes, there are crimes against humanity, but the crime of genocide is unique and distinct because it's characterized by the deliberate intention by a political actor to wipe out, to exterminate, to get rid of an entire group of people in whole or in part. That's literally, you know, the definition of genocide as represented in the UN Genocide Convention. So if you think about it, what's so horrific about genocide, if anyone is charged with it, and if those charges stand up to critical scrutiny, the political actor in question that is charged with genocide is intending, by virtue of state policy, to wipe out an entire group of people from the face of the earth. It's tough to think about something that's worse than that. That's why, you know, genocide has that unique moral distinction in our, you know, contemporary lexicon.
Now, the UN report is important, but the New York Times buried it on page 9 below the fold. One can only imagine if the report were on Russia or Iran or Venezuela, what the coverage would be.
Well, there's one of the rules of international relations and of global affairs is that there's always an inbuilt double standard. One standard for our side, when our side is sort of guilty, in this case, of genocide or war crimes, and then a different standard for our official enemies and for our adversaries. And for the latter group, their human rights violations, their abuse of power gets front page coverage on the New York Times, and those crimes that we're responsible for gets buried somewhere on page, you know, 19 of the New York Times with very little attention. And so that's one of the rules of, you know, of how the world works. And of course, it works also on the other side as well. Russia and, you know, China, they also have the reverse policy. Whenever their crimes are, you know, registered or represented, they either don't talk about it or they bury them in the, you know, back pages of their own newspaper and highlight the crimes of, you know, their adversaries as well. So that's sort of one of the rules of how the international system runs.
So according to the Genocide Convention, is the U.S. and some European countries complicit in genocide?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you actually read the Genocide Convention, if you look at Article 3E, they actually talk about the crime of complicity in genocide, which they say is a punishable offense. So to contribute, to aid and abet genocide is a crime, according to the UN Genocide Convention. And so just look at what, you know, is so distinct about this genocide. I've been thinking about, you know, how this genocide compares to other genocides. How is it unique? And several things come to mind. One, it's the first live stream genocide that we've ever seen. Previous genocides were, you know, hidden. We didn't know about it. We found out about it much later. This is the first live stream genocide. Many genocides, populations had an option of fleeing, running away. In Gaza, that option doesn't exist. But I think the most distinctive feature of this genocide that matters especially for Americans is this is the first genocide that I'm aware of that has the active, ongoing support of most Western liberal democracies, and especially the United States. The United States is funding the genocide, arming this genocide, protecting